This is a Day One podcast extra, bringing you a special conversation between our host, Peter Wallace, and a preacher from our regular weekly Day One program. For more information about Day One, which brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, visit our website at dayone.org.
Welcome to the Day One Podcast Extra. This is Peter Wallace, and with me is the Reverend Dr. Patrick Keene, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. Pat is a native of Chicago. He's a community developer, a grassroots organizer, and a pastor developer for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Pat has been one of the leaders involved in community rebuilding in New Orleans in the aftermath of Katrina and Rita. Pat, thanks for talking with us today.
Glad to be here, Peter. Thank you.
Share with us, first of all, your own personal experience of the day when Katrina hit. What happened when the hurricane hit New Orleans?
I was in Houston, Texas that Monday. We had evacuated a Saturday night. And around 12 o'clock, I called one of the members of the church who did not evacuate, and I asked, you know, how are things? And he says, oh, Pastor, the sun is shining. Everything is fine. You know, everything is in good order. And then that night, all hell broke loose. I could not imagine what I was seeing unfolding before my eyes as the accounts on CNN and the other news agencies were broadcasting the havoc that was developing in that city. And the only thing that I could imagine was, how could I get back? How could I get back into that city and try to provide some leadership, particularly at a time that it appeared that there needed to be some spiritual leadership in the city? I felt ashamed that I had abandoned, even though I know that I needed to. I needed for my own sake and for the sake of my family. But, oh, how I wanted to be back and to be a part of leading the people out of that situation.
So how did you get back?
Well, I was able to get back just to take a glimpse of what had happened about 3 weeks after the flood, just to assess the situation with the community and the community surrounding the church and with my home. But we were not able to get back permanently until December of 05.
So were you traveling a good bit back and forth during
that? I was traveling back and forth every other week between Houston and New Orleans.
It had to be overwhelming during that time to think of all that had to be done. How did you deal with that?
Well, it was overwhelming, and not knowing what resources were going to be available to help make that happen. But the only thing that I could do was to really and truly trust God. There was nothing else to do, even though I understood that there were millions of dollars that were being donated to, for instance, the Lutheran disaster response effort. But how that was going to trickle down into the community was still questionable. And it was just a matter of trusting God and trusting God's people that it would be enabled to happen.
So how did you determine, once there was some semblance of order that you could work with, how did you determine the priorities and what you would be involved in?
A good question. I knew, after assessing the situation, and this is where my background in Habitat for Humanity came in. I also, as a result of being a pastor developer, I knew that I could not rebuild a congregation if the community wasn't whole, and the community could not be whole if people didn't have a place to live. And so we knew that we had to redo our facilities to make it a friendly and accessible to volunteers coming and staying. And so we redid our bathrooms, put showers in our bathrooms. We constructed our classrooms on the upper level so that they could be places where volunteers could be housed. We redid our kitchen so that it would be accessible as well to the volunteers. And they would then be deployed in the community to help restore the community. I lost over 50% of my members who are not coming back or can't come back. 50%, that for me was 150 individuals, 150 families.
So how did you help out pastorally? I would imagine folks had a lot of questions about the goodness of God in the aftermath among those who lost so much. How did you engage them pastorally?
Well, the first thing that we needed to understand was that this was not a disaster that God was responsible for. The fact is that the hurricane did not hit New Orleans, and it was a result of the levees breaking, which was designed by man that breached. Now, the other part of it is that God provided, in as much as the hurricane did not hit New Orleans. Had there been a direct hit on New Orleans, they were prepared with 100,000 body bags for the individuals who would have been left behind. They knew that if a Category 4 or 5 hurricane hit New Orleans, that there would be at least 100,000 people who would die as a result of that of the flooding that would happen. They knew where they lived and knew what to expect. So God provided, in as much as it was not a direct hit on New Orleans. God was merciful, and so we need not blame God.
But you still hear religious leaders who say, I heard it this week, that was God's judgment on New Orleans because of sin. How do you respond to that?
Well, you know, New Orleans has its issues, but so does New York, so does Chicago, so does Atlanta. What about Las Vegas? You know, where is it that sin does not abound? And if God has passed judgment on New Orleans this way, then what do these other areas have to expect in their future? Mm. And how do we prepare for that? Can you prepare for that?
Well, over time since then, you have hosted or assisted numerous church groups coming to New Orleans to help out. I know the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has been very involved in the rebuilding efforts, the National Council of Churches. I read a survey from 10 months ago now that among the National Council of Churches 35 member communions, it was estimated that those churches sent more than 120,000 volunteers and donated 3.5 million hours in helping victims there, and that's a year ago. And those churches sent an estimated $250 million in financial aid to the local churches and relief agencies. Those are huge numbers. But would you say that the work of these various church groups has been effective?
If it were not for the people of God, New Orleans would be in much worse shape. I'll say it again, that in light of the fact that our federal government failed us, that our state government failed us, and our city government was crippled and unable to do what it might have wanted to do, in light of the fact that insurance companies have neglected to pay fully the insurance that people had on their property, it has been the people of God, hands down, that have made the difference. Coming to help muck out houses, coming to help build, coming to be a source of hope and encouragement in whatever way that they can, doing landscaping. It has been hands down the people of God giving of their time, their talents, and their resources to help restore New Orleans to where it is today.
And that is so encouraging. But I'm wondering, has the coordination of the various religious groups' recovery efforts been handled well, or could that kind of coordination be improved?
Well, I hate to be a Monday morning quarterback, and I wouldn't be a Monday morning quarterback if they were listening in the first place. But no, that has, for me, that has not been as successful as it could have been. We have had too many of our denominations vying for position. rather than looking to coordinate those resources to have the best impact upon the situation that we possibly could. And we still have that problem going on right now today. There needs to be a better coordination of the resources so that there's more bang for the buck, if you would.
What would you say are the church's responsibilities in disaster relief? Should we just support the Red Cross or, you know, send money, or should we get more personally involved?
Well, I don't want to downplay the importance of what the Red Cross mm-hmm. does, nor the Salvation Army, but we also need to understand that we have a role to play as well, and that there are things that can happen from the congregations and our church bodies that the Red Cross or the Salvation Army or some of these other entities could never do. There are responsibilities that they won't take on, that we can take on and take responsibility for. And it's those things that have helped New Orleans come to where we are today. And the people of God in New Orleans recognize that it has been the congregations that have taken on the challenge and have accepted the responsibilities that have helped and made the big impact, not the small impact, but the large, the huge impact on this city. And so the answer to that is yes, that the church should be involved. Local congregations and congregants should be actively engaged in this type of efforts, whether it's New Orleans or the Gulf Coast region or San Francisco, Minnesota, wherever natural disasters hit, we should be involved.
You know, I can't help but look at your background and think of that verse, "For such a time as this," because you seem to be so prepared by your experience to be effective in this kind of situation. But give us a kind of a quick overview of your background and how your experience has been helpful in this rebuilding work.
Well, back in high school, I was engaged in the civil rights movement through the American Friends Service Committee that had a community house that we call the Project House. And this Project House hosted some of the civil rights movement. They hosted Dr. King back when he would make his trips to Chicago. And so I had an opportunity to march with Dr. King. I was influenced by Muhammad Ali to become a conscientious objector and received an honorable discharge from the United States Army. The community that I grew up in, that I was raised in, was a multicultural community in the area of Chicago, formerly known as Jewtown, where the University of Illinois Chicago campus now sits. It's been transformed to a different community. But also as director of Habitat for Humanity, as a member of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party, to be a critical thinker and also challenge the thinking of the day is something that has been formulated in me. As director of Habitat for Humanity, developing skills and abilities to host and manage volunteers has been something that has been tremendously useful in these days. So, yes, I believe God has formulated me, formed me, and shaped me for such a time as this. As I mentioned in one of our private conversations, that the first 4 years that I was in New Orleans, I was scratching my head wondering, what the heck am I doing here? Why have you placed me here, God? You know, I certainly don't deserve this, but God has shown to be much wiser than I and knew that I was needed for such a time as this.
Well, tell us how you made that change from Chicago to New Orleans. That was almost 9 years ago. What brought that about?
What brought me to New Orleans? The congregation Bethlehem had been without pastoral leadership for 6 years. Again, the only African-American ELCA congregation in the entire state of Louisiana. The National Church recognized its importance being a congregation that was established in 1884. The church wanted to maintain a presence in New Orleans and asked me as a pastor developer to consider the call. Never mind the fact that the congregation could not afford a full-time pastor, but I was fool enough to accept the challenge, not feeling the need to worry about how I would be provided for, and trusting that God would provide. And throughout the years, I could say that God indeed has provided and has provided wonderfully. It can't say that we have not gone without need, but those needs have eventually been met. And the scripture is true that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed beg for bread. And we just celebrate what God has done throughout all of the process.
Well, we celebrate you, and we thank God for you, Patrick, and thanks for being with us.
Peter, I'm just honored to be here, and thank you for, once again, the invitation.